AC, what's happening?
Well, there's lots happening in the world, Dan. Lots happening. And
what would you like to talk about today? Let's talk about you. Enough of these English lessons.
It's just
Let's
all about
talk
me, huh?
about you.
Yeah, but that'll put everyone to sleep. No one
yeah,
wants to
yeah.
hear about
that
me.
That was a
Come
joke.
on. Come
We
on.
don't want to talk about that.
Yeah, ending.
What should we talk about?
I think we should talk about having second chances in life.
Second chances.
Yeah.
I've given you second, third, fourth chances.
Just today alone.
Yeah.
I'm sure you've had plenty of second chances.
I've had a few second chances.
Yeah.
I almost drowned. I probably told you this story a million
I think
times.
We've heard this story before.
Yeah.
Yeah. You almost drowned and then someone saved your life.
I almost, no, nobody saved. That's the whole story.
Oh,
this
whole
is how
story.
Much you pay attention. I'm going to give you a second chance to
okay,
hear
give me
this
a second
story.
Chance, please.
I almost drowned and my friend, who was a really good swimmer, yelled at me, "Hey, are you okay?"
Yeah.
And I thought, "Oh my God, my friend's going to save my life."
Right.
And I yelled, "No!" And what he thought, what he heard, that's what I said, but what he heard was, "Yeah." And he said, and so then he said, "Okay, I'm going back to the hotel."
Oh man.
But you know, I managed to survive and got a second chance at life.
Wow, that's a great story.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
you've already forgotten it. You didn't pay attention.
What was that story again?
Somebody saved your life.
Someone
it's
saved
a great
your life.
Story.
Right.
What about you? You have any second chance? Has he given anybody second chance?
I've given, yeah, I give everyone the benefit of the doubt. I give second chances all the time. I think that it's a good thing to do. Yeah.
Well, the benefit of the doubt
and
a second chance are not always the same thing.
That's true, but one could be based on the other.
Right.
Like if you want to give someone the benefit of the doubt, you give them a second chance.
Right.
Not always, though.
Right.
You're right.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Well, you know, we've had three stories that are somewhat tangentially related
and
to
there's
second
sort of
chances.
Different types of second chances.
Yeah, completely different.
Yeah.
It was a bit of a stretch.
Yeah, but that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, the first one was about cloning, and it's not the first time that we've done a deep English lesson about cloning.
True. True. One was about the bull, right?
The bull who...
Yeah. The owner loved the bull so much that when the bull died, he had the bull cloned at a local university, right?
Right.
And then the bull, the second bull looked just like the first one. It had many of the same attributes.
The personality was the same.
Personality was the same. It did the same kind of
It hung out. It hung out like underneath the same tree and like it ate in the same strange way.
Yeah. But then and then one day, just out of nowhere, out of the blue, it attacked him.
Yeah. Right? I think it had maybe attacked him twice.
Uh-huh.
And almost killed him.
But that's something that the first chance had never done.
Yeah.
So there was a behavioral difference.
Yeah.
But yeah, this one was with dogs.
Right. I mean, they've cloned cats, dogs, pigs,
do you
bulls.
Do you think they've cloned humans and we just don't know about
probably
it?
In secret somewhere.
Yeah.
The first clone was a sheep, Dolly.
Uh-huh.
That was in the 90s.
Yeah, that was a famous.
It's hard to believe that cloning technology has been around since the 90s.
Right, right, right.
But now it's something that you can just go to a lab and pay for.
Mm-hmm.
There used to be a company in the US that did it for much cheaper.
You're talking about animals, not humans.
Yeah, animals.
Yeah,
I think dogs and cats.
Mm-hmm.
For rich people who were really attached to their pets.
Right.
So anyhow, the people in the story they seem to get a 2-for-1 deal.
Uh-huh.
I wonder still, how that
still,
happened.
It's still, when you call it a deal, it still sounds like they're getting a really good discount, but they're still paying $100,000, right?
That's it's better than $200,000.
Yeah, it's true. $100,000 is half of $200,000.
Obviously, this couple had a lot of money to burn.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, apparently they had just spent $100,000 on a Humvee.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, they kind of justified it. Well, you know, we paid that much for a car.
Yeah.
You know, it's worth more than our car.
This is worth, yeah.
And now they're thinking about getting a third clone.
Really? A third one?
Yeah, for their grandson.
Oh, that sounds ridiculous to me.
Yeah, that was one strange part about the story. They talked about the original dog was Melvin. And, you know, this Melvin, he was so wonderful. And they even let Melvin babysit their grandson. in the backyard alone.
Really?
And I assume Melvin was quite small if he needed to be babysat.
It's an extraordinary dog you can babysit.
Can you imagine if you brought your little kid to your parents and then you came back and the dog was watching them? Oh, yeah, Melvin's taking care of it. Don't worry.
No problem.
Where's my kid?
Melvin. Good old Melvin. Oh, man.
So yeah, Melvin was a special dog, and now there are two clones of him.
Hmm. So that's one, certainly one type of second chance.
Yeah.
Although there are, it brings up so many existential questions of, you know, why someone would clone something when it's not necessarily the exact same being. It's, you know, and I mean, if you believe that it is, you know, is that, is even though it's not, it just seems odd to me that.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose it's just an extension. I mean, that it's possible that you could rationally understand it's not the same being, but still be comforted by it.
Yeah, well, it, like an extension of the physical nature of the being that was before, right? Right.
Yeah, it's like maybe a living photo almost.
Mm-hmm.
It looks the same. It sounds the same. A lot of the behaviors are the same. It's like, you know, watching a video, but way better.
Yeah.
I remember when my father passed away, my mother would listen to the answering machine message that my father left for a long time. And she would listen to it over and over again just to hear his voice.
Uh-huh.
And, I wonder if she would clone my father.
Well, it does raise that question. Would you clone it? Especially if you lost a child?
I wouldn't. I think that would maybe creep you out or make you more sad.
Yeah, I think it would make you more sad. Yeah.
But what would you do? What would you do if like a loved one, like your, you know, somebody in your family wanted to clone their partner who had passed away?
Right.
Yeah, I don't think I would like that.
No, I wouldn't feel comfortable with that. I think there are different ways of dealing with grief, and I don't see cloning as being a very successful way to deal with it.
But, and especially if you didn't like your clone.
Yeah, right.
That would make things even worse.
That's right. But yeah, I mean, the kind of second chance that they're giving these... it's actually they're giving themselves the second chance by. It's not like they're giving the animal.
Yeah,
the second
Melvin
chance.
Didn't get a second chance.
No, he has one and only chance, right?
Yeah. But Paula and Paula's husband, blanking on his name.
Yeah,
they got a second chance.
But I think the second story about
before we get on
Barbara.
On Barbara, I did read something interesting about how, and I have vague memories of this from the news, how in 2015, this same laboratory was planning to clone a woolly mammoth.
Oh, really?
And they had found some woolly mammoth, amazingly, like
intact.
They've been extinct for thousands of years. I don't know how many of thousands of years, but thousands of years. And they found one intact that actually had blood.
Yeah, DNA. Right.
Like they had a vial of blood, and there was plans for this SOAS lab to try to clone it.
Yeah.
But I mean, obviously it didn't happen. Uh-huh. They weren't successful.
Yeah. It's a matter of time.
Yeah. Before actually, I think they have cloned some animal that went extinct recently.
Yeah.
Like some kind of sheep or goat
had
gone extinct like in the last 20 years and they cloned it.
Yeah. Well, that story by Michael Crichton, Jurassic Park,
that's
what that whole story is about, right?
Right. Yeah. Did you see the new Jurassic Park?
No.
Me neither.
Yeah.
But I've heard that there are other labs still planning on cloning a woolly mammoth and... Their plan is to maybe try to mix the woolly mammoth DNA with the DNA of an Asian elephant.
Well, I think they'd have to. I don't think I don't know if it's possible to just grow it from a single cell.
Right.
Yeah, you need an egg and all that stuff.
But you know, in this situation, like I didn't know anything about cloning, so when I was looking into this story, like I didn't understand that apparently the breed of the the dog where the eggs come from
mm-hmm.
is inconsequential to what the clone will be.
Right.
And as well as the breed of the surrogate mother no connection to, which I can kind of understand the surrogate mother, but I would think that there would be genetic material in the donor egg.
Right.
But I guess that's the whole thing that they do. They remove all the genetic material from the egg.
In vitro.
Right.
They do that connection. They connect the DNA. They ligate it. They do whatever.
Right.
And insert it back into the egg and then take that egg and plant it in the surrogate mother.
And the fact that they kickstart it with electricity, that's like Frankenstein.
Yeah, it's
stuff.
Pretty much. Yeah. Frankenstein.
But anyhow, I was reading about this woolly mammoth that they're going to try to create some sort of hybrid that mm-hmm. will have traits from both.
Yeah.
The current modern elephant and a woolly mammoth.
Interesting. You think you have any woolly mammoth blood in you, Dan?
Some woolly mammoth genes?
Yeah, I think you do. The fur on your face just gives it away.
I got to shave myself every once in a while. Barbara Harris, that was, the opposite of second chance, of somebody who believes that some people don't deserve a second chance.
It's kind of a pretty controversial sort
of very, very controversial
issue, situation. On the one hand, she's trying to do good in her mind by taking in babies that are abandoned and orphaned or abandoned by the mother because the mother can't take care of them because she's addicted to drugs and somebody needs to take care of these children. But on the other hand, she's, paying these women money that she knows they'll take because they need the money to buy drugs. And in exchange, they get sterilized.
Yeah.
And it's almost, some people could see that as taking advantage of their situation in order to inflict some kind of life-changing, life-altering condition that prevents them from procreating in the future. And some people might say, like we said in the lesson, this has remnants of some sort of, social engineering.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is pretty dangerous in some people's minds.
I think Barbara Harris would say her intention is purely to protect these unborn children
from a
life of suffering.
Yeah.
But, it's very easy to see it from the other side that she's trying to, punish people.
Yeah.
And say that they're not worthy of, fixing their lives and changing their lives.
Exactly. And there's also, I would assume there's a racial element to the story as well. Is Barbara black or is she white?
She is, she's white. And it's actually, she brings up the fact that people call her racist and she laughs at that because her husband's black. She's white, but her husband's black, and Destiny
black
and all these other children she adopted were black.
Right.
But that racial element aside, there still is there's still like a cold way to look at
sure,
this.
There's a moral issue
that
involved.
She's saying that this class of people are. She does compare them to dogs in one interview that she did on TV. She did a lot of talk shows in the 90s.
Uh-huh.
She got a lot of negative press
and some
positive press. She actually, there was a lot of people that supported her as well and sent her lots of money that funded her NGO. excuse me.
No problem.
And then a whole another angle on it is the fact that she raised these four children that she loves very much, and they wouldn't exist if her NGO was around before. The adoption agency said Destiny is going to be physically and mentally challenged her whole life forever.
Right.
Which turned out to not be the case. She's in college, and I heard an interview with her. Mm. Sounds like just a normal young woman, happy young woman.
Yeah, great.
And
so,
it
begs the question, what if her NGO had existed before and these children wouldn't be there?
Yeah.
So, wow, it brings up a lot of contradictions.
Yeah.
It? Yeah.
But, can you imagine just one after another adopting I mean, she's already had six of her own children. And just every year, another phone call. Well, there's another, you know, baby that, you know, has got mental problems and physical problems. Will you adopt him also?
Wow.
And she just kept saying yes.
Yeah. Have you ever thought of adopting a child?
No.
No.
No, I haven't.
Uh-huh. I've thought about it before.
Yeah.
Entertained the idea.
Yeah.
But we've got our hands full with our own children.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah. Yeah, I've thought about it.
She jokes about the fourth child that she agreed to. How her husband was like, "Hey, I'm not buying a school bus.
Not buying a school bus." Just
like she talks
keep
about
the four door sedan.
how he had to move up from like a car to a van.
Yeah, right.
From a like a little apartment to a house, and
not going the bus route.
Yeah. You know, my mother-in-law. She adopts stray cats.
Okay.
And she's got 11 stray cats.
Wow.
Which I think really bugs
the neighbors.
My father-in-law.
Oh, your father-in-law, sure.
Like, I don't think he's not a fan of cats at all.
Right.
And she just keeps bringing them over, them home one by one.
Stop.
But I mean, those are just cats. Like,
yeah, I can imagine she fires human children. Right?
Bringing like a new child every year.
That's pretty heavy stuff. Actually, the person in our third story also has adopted a couple of dozen children over the years.
Right. I think taking care of, I don't know if adopted, but taking care of, you know, over 100. Right?
Over the past 15 years or something.
Right.
Yeah. But he's quite an individual who kind of gave himself a second chance.
Yeah, yeah. He saw an opening to really help people, and he seized it.
Yeah, and he used his skill and experience that he gained through a pretty challenging and somewhat disturbing childhood, and applied it toward doing good. Which I thought is pretty cool.
Yeah,
yeah. Because, I mean, most of these cases of child soldiers, the children end up with all kinds of trauma and emotional scarring and mental illnesses. And, you know, they just, their lives are very, very difficult.
Yeah. What an amazing guy. I mean, even though he's probably one of the, you know, world experts on diffusing minds.
Sure.
He's still putting himself at like severe risk.
Yeah. Yeah.
To do that job.
Yeah.
And he's been doing it for years.
Decades. I mean, like to do that for decades and he's never been hurt.
Yeah.
It's almost unreal. It's surreal.
Yeah.
In a way. But pretty amazing guy.
Yeah. Cambodia is not a place you can just go wander off for a hike in the woods.
Yeah. You gotta be careful.
There's mines everywhere there.
Yeah. But apparently, though you actually do have to apply, they say at least 10 kilograms of pressure on top of a mine in order to detonate it.
Oh, really?
So that's why, as long as you don't step on it, you can poke the ground with a stick pretty hard, actually, and until you strike metal. And you think that's a mine and you can dig around it. And I was reading about this. I'm not an expert on defusing mines, but apparently you have to apply a fair bit of pressure in order to actually cause them to detonate.
Yeah.
So that's how he was able to do that with a stick. And of course he's put landmines together. He's planted them for so many years. He knows how to defuse them safely and expose of them or get rid of them.
Yeah.
But he's built this landmine museum where tourists can go and touch the landmines and hold them and whatnot.
Right.
Pretty amazing that the courage it takes to devote your life to that and think of how many lives he's saved over the years. And he didn't have to do any of that. He chose to do it. So, pretty strong individual.
I didn't really get the bit about his name. I understand, you know, there's a Japanese company called Akira.
Yeah.
And then he took that, or he was given that nickname, but did it have something to do with defusing mines?
Yes. It had to do with, I can't remember if the Vietnamese army gave him that name or if it was the UN that gave him that name. Like some commanding officer saw how efficient he worked. He worked so efficiently that it was almost like he was a machine.
Yeah.
And like an Akita. I guess in those days or in that time, there was a company that made all kinds of machinery that would do heavy
really
work.
Was really efficient and
yeah, just very efficient good. And yeah. You know, got a lot done, more than a human would. And so he took that name.
Right.
They started calling him that and it just stuck.
Right.
Yeah, so Akita. Yeah.
Yeah, amazing guy. That was really interesting to learn about him. And you know, after hearing that kind of heavy story with Barbara Harris, it was nice to, I mean, he had a heavy story too, but you know, there's this clear sort of unequivocally positive ending to his to all the stuff that he went through in his life.
Yeah, right.
Well, you know, Barbara Harris, it's really hard to say, you know, is what she doing, helping or hurting or,
right.
So yeah, it was nice to hear that story.
Yeah.
Well, until next month.
Alrighty.
Alrighty. Over and out.
All right. Take care.